Hello again. So good to see you again today. And we're continuing these studies from the article section of my website, which is www.garycarpenter.org. And for years, we've had these teachings available in written form, but the Lord has given me the assignment now of teaching them again and doing it in a modern format where it can be on YouTube and MP3 and that type of thing. And where you can listen to it again and again if you need to, if you're called to the ministry of giving or what we call kingdom finances. Everybody's called to kingdom finances. But that brings me to the topic today. Now, today's lesson is kind of an advanced lesson. And you really need the foundation of the lessons that have come before it. Today's title is Guaranteed Failure in Stewardship. Guaranteed Failure. You'll know what we mean as we go along. Now, what I mean by advanced teaching, this lesson today is especially for those who have the calling to what the Bible calls the ministry of helps. In Romans 12, it's called the simplicity of giving. But it's people that are literally called to go into the financial arena and earn money, make. In the parable of the stewarding the pound, he called it to do increase by trading. And that word trading, if you look it up, means business of any kind. Could be, you know, anything. Could be anything. For everything from a little mom and pop grocery store to a mighty investor, you know, who invests in commodities and stocks and that type of thing. It doesn't matter. But it is literally talking about people that go into the business arena some way. We sometimes refer to them as gospel entrepreneurs, but they're doing it not for personal profit. They're doing it because that's their calling in the body of Christ. And you need to at least back up to where we started with in these lessons to from formula to relationship. At least start there. If you haven't heard all the lessons between there and now, You got your homework assignment for you. But I don't have time to review all of that. So I was asking the Lord, how do I start this, you know? And I believe he wants us to start with a reminder. So this is almost all the way back to the beginning, something the Lord just said to me in the very beginning of my journey with him on this path. He said, I'm just quoting what the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, sowing and reaping is sharecropper faith. It is a valid level of faith to operate in, and most people will never graduate from it. Did you hear that part? It has sustained my church to this hour, but it will never cause the massive transfer of wealth that shall be required to fuel the combines of revival that will occur in these last days. What I desire is sonship faith, where you know that you actually own the very fields that you're sowing into. Whew, man. You are not a sharecropper in the kingdom of God. You are a son, and all that is mine is thine. Whew, man, it still rings true today, just like it did when I first heard it all those years ago. Now let's review some things that he said in there. See, most of the body of Christ will walk with the Lord during their whole lifetime. I mean, they're going to grow and they're going to mature in many areas. But most of them are going to remain with the mindset of sowing and reaping. And be honest with you, they're going to get a lot of help from that with the TV preachers, because that seems to be all they teach. But this is in the acceptable will of God. He said it was there. He said most of them are going to have that sowing and reaping, what he calls sharecropper mentality, all their life. And they're not going to graduate from it. But see, the Lord loves them and is pleased with them, and he's going to mature them, and he'll work with them as love grows, giving grows. He just can't help that. As love grows, giving grows, because you become more like your Father. For God so, how basic can you get? For God so loved the world that he gave. The more love grows, the more your giving will grow. And God will work with you in sowing and reaping and bless you, and you'll have a great life. But see, these lessons, especially like today's, and really starting with, I don't know how early we'd have to start, but at least with stewarding the pound. See, stewarding the pound is definitely talking about somebody called to the arena of money, the arena of business, to cause increase for the kingdom of God. But if you'll notice, those stewards that did it, I mean, stewards, those gospel entrepreneurs in that, and stewarding the pound, and also the one about the talents, one of the other accounts says talents. It's about making money to cause increase for the use of the kingdom of God. And in the stewards, and the ones that did it, I keep saying stewards, we're all stewards, but not everybody's a gospel entrepreneur. But now, the ones who did it right, that he commended, always had, this was their attitude, this was their statement, Lord, thy pound, that's the principle, hath gained 10 pounds. Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. The original principle and all the increase belongs to the Lord. That's a different mindset than sowing and reaping for your own personal harvest. It's a different mindset from a sharecropper. This is a person calls to the ministry of helps. This is their job, just like a evangelist is called to be on the front lines to win souls. And again, we've already covered the scripture in Romans chapter 10, where it says, talking about people getting saved, it says, well, how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, that makes sense. Somebody's got to go tell them the good news. Then it says, how shall they preach unless they be sent? Well, senders are the ministry of helps. And really, a quick subheading under that would be those that are called to government, because they're the ones really that distribute the money. I don't know if he'll let us get into that much or not in this series. But let me say this again. Let me just read this paragraph without so much talk. Most of the body of Christ will walk with the Lord, having the mentality of sowing and reaping. That's what he said. This is the acceptable will of God. It's in his acceptable will. He will walk with them and bless them. But there are those called to the ministry of helps. If you have not heard that lesson, we have a lesson by that title, Ministry of Helps. Go back and at least hear that one. So, now the ministry of helps is an actual calling in the body of Christ listed right with the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher. We've already taught on them. It's a calling. And you are called, if you have that, you are called to the arena of money in the world system to generate finances for the kingdom of God. And the purpose of this lesson now is for you. This lesson is for those people called to the ministry of helps or the simplicity of giving. And what's the purpose of this lesson? It's to show you the most common trap that will guarantee you'll fail if you're not aware of it. If you want to be 100% guaranteed of failing in the calling of the ministry of helps, we're going to show that to you today in this lesson. Now listen, I'm just going to go ahead and give you a preview. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you in a way. So you cannot function with the mindset of sowing and reaping and be successful in the ministry of helps. That will not happen. They're mutually exclusive, and I'll show you why. Or the Lord will show you why from his word. Now, the sowing and reaping message has been taught to this hour, and it's still taught. I mean, if you want to find a common theme on Christian TV. And I'm not against anybody. He said it's a valid level of faith to walk in. It is. Okay. Virtually, but see, that mindset of sowing and reaping will virtually guarantee your failure as a gospel entrepreneur, or what here I called it, the kingdom financial stewards, with an anointing to transfer massive wealth from the world system into the kingdom of God. The mindset of sowing and reaping will destroy that. Why? Because that mindset is designed to produce unfaithful stewards when it comes to those called to the ministry of helps. It is designed to produce blessings, not first-class servants, like Jesus describes in Luke 17:1 through 10. See, we have been taught that God meets our needs. When I say we have been taught, the body of Christ at large, I'm talking about the TV preachers, the common teaching that you'll see on every channel. God meets our needs in proportion to our sowing of finances into the work of the gospel. A common phrase is, sow a seed to meet your need. You hear it all the time. The resulting mindset in believers is that the way that God meets their personal needs is by sending them a harvest from their financial sowing into the kingdom. That is the very mindset that Jesus was teaching against when he said, does he thank that servant? I trow not. Now right here, see the lesson that I just did most recently. Does he thank that servant? I mean, it is eye-opening, that one is. We have been taught to have the mindset that we are farmers in the kingdom of God. The more we sow, the more we personally reap. You know it's true, you know. Anyway, if I get into that, well, that'll take up the whole lesson. All caps, I wrote this. We are not farmers. Now, especially if you're called to the ministry of helps, gospel entrepreneurship, and simplicity of giving, you are not a farmer in God's kingdom. We are sons serving in our Father's fields to reap a harvest for him. Whew. Again, right now, I'm reminded of King David. In the Old Testament, King David wanted to build God a house. He said, it's not right that I live in this really great house and you live in a tent. So he wanted, what he's talking about, the tabernacle, you know, anyway. So he wanted to build God a temple, a house. And God says, no, you're not the one to build me a house. That assignment's going to belong to your son. Well, David, his attitude was, well, if I can't build a house, at least I can pay for it. And boy, he started going to war with these other kings and gathering all kinds of plunder, you know, gold and silver and money and whatever, you know, donkeys and whatever they had became, David conquered it. Wood and everything. He laid up. He did the providing. He was the, quote, gospel entrepreneur of his times, type and shadow. He went to arena. He went to war in the arena that was hostile. You know, it's all these kings around him. It's this perfect picture of going out to do warfare in the land of Mammon. We're going to go to war against the other king. You know, you cannot serve God and money. You're going to serve one king. You're not going to serve two. Well, David wasn't serving two. He went and conquered and brought the wealth. Didn't use it for himself. He set it aside for the building of the temple of God. What? God, you are so good. What a perfect picture of the gospel entrepreneur. Okay, let me go on from there. See, our Father is desiring those who will be faithful stewards of finances in his kingdom. If he can find such faithful stewards, he will promote them to ever increasing levels of financial stewardship. Just as we see in the parable of the 10 pounds, and if you want to read that again, I'm not going to do it today, but it's in Luke 19, verses 11 through 27. See, at the end of that, he said, to the good ones who did it correctly, and again, this phrase is all important, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. The original principle and all of the increase was the Lord's. We're not talking tithing now. We're not talking sowing and reaping now. We're not talking you have 90% and he has 10%. This is your job. This is your function in the kingdom. I'm going to get to this later. I wasn't going to do it now, but we're going to go to Romans 12 in a little bit and start looking at some of the giftings, the different callings in the body. One of them is teacher. That's what I am in the body. I am a teacher. That is my job. It's like, you know, which of you having a servant plowing and feeding cattle? My quote, plowing and feeding cattle, is to teach. That's what I do in the kingdom of God. Well, the ministry of helps, those that are called to that, or in Romans 12, it's called the simplicity of giving. Those that are called to that, that is your job. And it's, I don't teach to get personally rich. Come on. I teach because that is my job. That is my calling. That is my assignment. That's what he's on the family business. You know, so one person greases the wheels of the combine. Another person drives the combine. They both have jobs, but they're both sons or daughters, and they get their heirs in the kingdom. And when their job is done at the end of the day, they don't come by and punch a time clock and look for a paycheck, do they? No. You make sure everything is done, then you sit down at the family dinner table. And we all eat to the full because we are sons. It's got nothing to do with our job. Now, I want to do a good job. I study to show myself approved, a workman not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I do my bit, you know, my business, my preparation in the word. I pray in tongues like a lot because I want the... Not, I don't want just human knowledge. I want the wisdom of God, what the Bible calls the mysteries of God. I want to deliver you truth directly from the mind of Jesus, okay? And that's what I endeavor to do. And of course, I spend some time in fasting, as you can tell, probably not as much as I should. And of course, we worship God. But see, my function, it wouldn't do... Well, I've tried it. I've had people talk me into trying to go street witnessing, you know, and I'm not against it. I can share. I found really for me, the best way to do that is go and share my witness, you know. I do not have the calling of an evangelist. The man that led me to the Lord. Thank you forever, Michael. Michael Muccio. That guy can win more people to Jesus by accident than most churches do on purpose. I mean, he just can't help it. It's just who he is. And it's always been that way. It's still that way today. And it doesn't matter if God keeps him in Tulsa. Right now he's living in Florida. But if God moved him to Zimbabwe, he'd be doing the same thing. And he'd be winning groups of people and having Bible studies and training them up in the ways of the Lord. He can't help it. It is his calling. Okay? I teach. It doesn't matter. When I look back on my life, even before when I was in real estate, they put me over 60 agents. And why? Because they wanted me to teach them what I knew. I forgot. I hadn't really put it together for a long time, but I've always been a teacher, you know, even in the world. I wasn't a school teacher, but I was always teaching. And I'd have them in there. I'd do group teachings at times, and Sue reminded me the other day, you remember all those hours you spent with those individual agents that were struggling? You'd bring them in, talk with them, you know, get them. I went, God, I'd forgot about that. Well, that's teaching. That's nurturing. Sometimes it was tutoring one-on-one. I can't help it. That's who I am. It's my calling. Well, listen, you might be called to the ministry of helps. And making money, I'm going to tell you, if that's your calling in the kingdom, making money is your job. But when the Lord comes for it, it's not 90% is yours and 10% is his, my brothers and sisters. Thy pound, your principle, the original principle, here it is. Your thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. It's all his. Why? Because that's your job. That's your job. At the end of the day, I made 40 gazillion bucks for the Lord today. Lord, here it all is. I will send the check to whoever you tell me to, and whatever. I'm going to go make another gazillion bucks tomorrow. Okay, great, great. What are you going to do at supper time? I'm going to sit down at the family dinner table. I'm not going to punch a time clock. I'm not an employee. I'm a son. Woo! You're starting to think like a son of God. You're starting to think like a child of God. Like God is your father, and like maybe this is real. Oh my goodness. you're also becoming really dangerous to the devil. Really dangerous. Okay. Let me see where I think I jumped ahead about 3 pages here, but let me see. See, if you continue with the mindset that I'm gonna call it a stronghold, that the gain on the pound is your harvest. Okay, you've done the pound. You took an amount of money, whatever it is, you went into business, trading, markets, whatever, and you've increased it. Now you're sitting there, like the good servant, let's say you increased it tenfold, whatever the original pound is, you've increased it by trading tenfold. And you, here it is in your hand, and here comes the Lord, okay? Now, all that increase in your hand, whose is that? Is that yours? Is 90% of it yours? See, I always think about people that really make this work. See, when the anointing of God comes, when you really step into this calling, you're not on your own. We are not orphans. You've got access to the very mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit. He will work with you. He'll help you. Whatever endeavor it is that you're doing as the servant of the Lord. So let's say it really works. What? Let's say it really works. Let's say you start this and the very next month, I'm just now exaggerating for teaching's sake, but the very next month you make $1 million and you've got it in your account now. There's $1 million there. Now here's one of the traps. Suddenly I want to go back to the tithe. Yeah. You know, that's a good idea. Let's go back to the tithe because there's that $1 million. Suddenly I have a revelation. It's the tithe. We're going back under the tithe now. 90% is mine. Oh, 10% is yours, Lord. I'm going to keep 900,000 and you get 100,000. Isn't that generous of me, Lord? See, not if it's your calling. Not if it's your calling. If your calling is to make money for the kingdom, if that ministry of helps or simplicity of giving, a gospel entrepreneur, no. We've talked about this before. Listen, this is why it is so important that you establish what your provision is. And again, you got to just go back to the previous lessons. We walk through it very carefully. There's a separation between your money and His money, between your provision and your calling to make money. King David didn't keep any of that. He did it for the purpose of building the temple of God. You're doing it for the purpose of building God's kingdom on earth. And it's your calling as much as mine as a teacher. Yeah. Now, he can use me in kingdom finances. He has and he will, but it's not really my calling. Mainly, I think he allows me to do it so I can teach on it better. Because you find out some of the pitfalls in there. Okay. I'm just going to read some of these paragraphs verbatim. It's already been 20 minutes. Good Lord. See, if we have the mindset, if you continue to have that sharecropper mindset, that the increase is your harvest, your personal harvest, instead of the Lord's harvest, if you continue to consume the increase on yourselves rather than a faithful steward to increase money for the kingdom of God, you've already proven yourself to be an unfaithful steward. Remember, we looked at that guy 2 weeks ago, I think. See, retaining that mindset guarantees that you will not be promoted to higher levels of financial stewardship. He's found you know, if that's your calling and you're using it for yourself, you're proving yourself unfaithful. Again, I got to use the analogy. My calling is to teach. People with this calling are called to make money, but it's for the kingdom. That's your calling. It's got really nothing to do with your provision. Your provision is at the dinner table. Again, how far back do you need to go? Matthew chapter 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things, that's the dinner table. That's your a place to live, that's your food, that's your water, that's your clothing, all these things that He knows you have need of. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, that's the family dinner table. And the way we particularly do it in the Gary Carpenter Ministries is I have a salary. It's a set salary. Don't always get all of it. Depends on how much money's in there. But Sue and I have a set salary. And if somebody... Now, I'm not soliciting money. I'm teaching. Okay, but if somebody sent a check for $1 million tomorrow, and whoo, we got it, and it clears, and it's actually in the bank account, Do you know that would not affect how Sue and I live one iota? I have provision. Now, the Lord could bless me other ways. He can do it. He could come in just personally through somebody and do something. But I'm talking about the normal flow of things, the money that comes in to Gary Carpenter Ministries. I have a set salary. It's an expense. Angie, my daughter, has a set salary. You know, we have bills to pay. There's AT&T, you know, I'm talking to you over my iPhone right now. We got to pay AT&T. Might switch to somebody else soon anyway. We got electric bill to pay and gas bill and so forth, you know, and the QuickBooks and I don't know what all, you know. But see, it's just my salary, what Sue and I live on, and housing allowance, it's a set number. And if there was $1 million in the bank tomorrow, it wouldn't matter. That's not ours. It's just not ours. And I do with it whatever the Lord says to do with it. It's His money. Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. I understand that. Okay. All right. Again, going back to the good steward. A good steward in the stewarding the pound lesson. The good steward had not consumed that original pound. Thy pound, he said. I still had it. Nor he didn't consume the increase either upon himself. See, he did not consider the increase to be his own personal harvest, as we have been taught. Now, again, if you don't have the calling to the ministry of helps, if you don't have the calling to simplicity of giving, listen, just he will work with you in the sowing and reaping and bless you. The main thing to do there is increase in love, because the more you increase in love, the more you will increase in your giving. It just, you can't separate those two things. Love will cause you to give. It just will. Okay. Now, let me go on here a little bit to this next page. Sorry for the rattling. Now, in the course of this, the Lord gave me a couple of little teaching visions here. I'm just going to read it to you. Hopefully you've heard the lessons on Grandfather's Farm and understand that all the sons, all the daughters had their jobs to do each day. In the house, there was cooking and canning and cleaning and laundry and so much work to do. In the fields, there was feeding the cattle and plowing the fields. And, you know, somebody operated the combine. Somebody had to grease the wheels on the combine. So many jobs. But the idea was everybody had their assignments. But at the end of the day, everybody come in, sat down at the dinner table and ate to the full because they were sons. It was not based on their performance. Now, of course, we want to perform well. I want to do a good job. If I'm going to be a teacher, I want to be a good one. Okay. If I want to grease the wheels, I want them to really be greased well. Okay. But see, you got to make a separation between your performance in the field and your right to sit at the dinner table. The dinner table is because you're a child of God. Okay. Now think about this. In that scenario, what would my grandfather have thought had he learned that one of his sons had secretly built a grain silo for himself? What? And every day this son was depositing the bulk of the grain harvested on grandfather's farm and putting it into his own personal silo. And he would only bring a pittance, a small amount, to put into grandfather's farm, to his silo. You know, however much you harvested today, what if he said, well, 90% of that is going into my... And even though it was gathered in the father's fields, the son says, oh, no, no, that harvest is mine. You see where this is going. Sorry, that got all over me right there. Yeah, 90% of that is mine. Here's 10%, Father. Yeah, here's 10% for you. If Grandfather had found that out, it wouldn't have taken him long to remove that son from his labors in the harvest fields altogether. Now, he'd still love that son, but he's like, I'm putting you out of your stewardship. You're not going to be involved in the harvest at all. Boy, we don't want that. But he most certainly would not have promoted that son to greater levels of stewardship regarding the harvest, now would he? Can't be trusted. Again, I say, where your treasure is, there, where your heart is, there's your treasure also. See, this is a primary reason why we have had seldom ever any real kingdom, gospel entrepreneurs, kingdom, stewards of finances, and I'm talking about supernatural, not just everyday Joe Blow Christian, but those with a calling to the ministry of helps. You don't, there's not many, and there should be a lot more. This is why we don't see many of them, because the sowing and reaping is so ingrained in us that it causes that sharecropper mentality to come back again, to where we're not really sons, heirs to all that he has. We have this mentality, I'm a farmer, I'm a sharecropper in the kingdom of God. I sow and I reap, 90% is mine and 10% is his. No son on grandfather's farm would have ever thought that way. See, the principle to be exalted in the kingdom, no matter what it is that you do, is 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. It's just so simple. It is required in stewards that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, man or woman, be found faithful. Whew. That's what he's looking for. Can't imagine. I tried to picture in my mind after I had that little mini vision, my own grandfather going out to survey what's being done on his farm today. You know, and of course they had fences around the perimeters, you know. But if he goes in on the buckboard that day, you know, see what all's being done. And he finds there's another silo? What? What is that over there? Get in the buggy, go over. What's that? And there's another silo, and it's got one of his son's name on it. So he tracks down that son. What's this? Oh, I had the Christian TV on. They taught me sowing and reaping, and I understand now that my labor in your fields, 90% of that harvest is mine. Every time, I didn't know all these years that I was sowing in your fields that really the harvest was mine. Grandfather would look at him like, when did you fall off the apple truck? What? When did you fall out of the tree? What happened? Did you land on your head? What's wrong with you? This is a family business. That you built that silo on my land. The more I meditated on it, the sillier it got. One time I had another little vision, like a grandfather driving the buggy out into his field, and he finds another fence inside his fence. And it's a big fence in there, too. And, well, son, what's this? I decided from here on out, I put up this fence. This is mine. Whatever is sown here is my harvest. I might give you some out of it. I might not. Well, that's the church. That's the modern day church, you know. Yeah, building my own kingdom here. What would grandfather have thought driving in there and finding one of his sons had built a fence inside of his fence and all of the harvest from there belonged to him, or at least 90% of it? Oh my goodness, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Okay. Another analogy. Okay, we did that one. Let me give you another analogy. You know, we're called ambassadors for Christ. That really, we're not really of the earth. We're on the earth. We're in the earth, in the world. We're in the world, but we're certainly not of it. See, our citizenship, it says, is in heaven. The truth of it is, you're already born again. You're already a child of God. In, spiritually, as far as God's concerned, you are seated at his right hand in Christ Jesus. Your citizenship is from heaven. Truth of it is, you're on temporary loan to planet Earth to do kingdom business, just like Jesus was temporarily here to do kingdom business. Now, he's still here in us. Don't write me any letters. But now it's our turn to allow Christ in us to do the works of the Father. Just like when he was here, he allowed the Father to do the works in him. Well, now it's Christ in us, the Father in him, and he's still doing the works. Okay. quick summary of Genesis through Revelation. But anyway. But let's say now, since, okay, an ambassador. Let's think about an ambassador. Can I just stay with these notes pretty much? I'm sorry for the rattling of the papers. So, okay, I'll try it without the rattling. So let's talk about an ambassador to planet Earth. Let's talk about earthly ambassadors. The function of an ambassador is to be a faithful steward to make sure that the money sent from a wealthy nation is used for the purpose of helping the poor nation, the impoverished people. As the, because you can pick, so you can picture the United States of America, we're going to set up an ambassador in a very poor country. We're going to send you finances, Mr. Ambassador, on a regular basis. But we're going to give you a house over there. You're going to have a place to live. You're going to have a vehicle to drive. You're going to have a salary to live on. Your job is to steward this money to bless the poor country from the rich country. Got the scenario? Okay. And so as the wealthy nation sends financers to that ambassador's account, the purpose for them sending that money is to finance projects for the poor country, such things like digging water wells, purchasing grain for the people to plant for crops, teaching them how to plant crops and grow crops, building roads on which their crops can be brought to market, constructing schools to educate them, and a thousand other things. I mean, that's the purpose. This rich, wealthy nation, they've set up an ambassador over there. They made sure he had a house and he had transportation and the things that he needed. But his main function there is to steward money that comes from the wealthy nation to help the poor nation. Got it? Okay. But suppose someone came along and taught that ambassador the sowing and reaping message, as we've all been taught it today. They would teach the ambassador, listen, every time you give to these poor people, your wealthy nation will send you more as a harvest. What the wealthy nation sends you is your harvest. You need to name your seed, and I could go on and on. I'm not trying to belittle anybody, but it gets really ridiculous. You know, what the wealthy nation sends you then, after you've given whatever they sent the last time, and you've sown, you've got to consider that a seed, and you've sown that, and then they're going to send more, and that is your personal harvest. And as long as you continue to just sow a little more of your harvest to the poor people, your wealthy nation will keep sending the money. Well, if the ambassador believes that, he would operate something like this. And I just made up an example. Let's say they sent him there, and the first time they just give him $100. But he, quote, sows that $100 by spending it on a worthy project for the poor people. So his wealthy nation, they see his account is empty, so they send him $10,000 the next time. We really multiplied it up. Way more than 100-fold. I heard a preacher recently, I won't tell you his name, but he said, no, that 100-fold, that's just mathematics. No, what God means is your personal harvest will be so big you can't even count it. You know, I've heard the 100-fold return, I've heard now the 1,000-fold return, and they're wanting to even go beyond that because they're anyway. Teach, don't preach, Gary. Okay. Still puts a little burr under my saddle sometimes. So the wealthy nation, they see that his account, well, he did what we asked. He used that $100 on the people. So then they send him $10,000. Now, believing this to be his own personal harvest, that $10,000, he says, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll take $9,000 of the dollars and use it on myself. I'll decorate my house. You know, we haven't been redecorated since I've been here. I'm going to redecorate the house. Nothing wrong with decorating the house, unless you're using his pound. And we'll spend $1,000 on the people. I mean, that's way more than we gave last time. Last time we just gave $100, and now look, we're giving $1,000. Yeah, but you kept $9,000. Well, no. That's the TV preacher said it was okay. That's my harvest. You don't understand. That's my harvest. So, but the rich nation doesn't really know what's going on. They're looking at his account digitally somehow, and they're going, well, he must have done it again. We sent him that $10,000, and man, he's distributed it. It's gone. Of course, they don't know that 90% of it he used on himself. So next they send him $100,000. Oh my goodness. Now, thinking this to be his own personal harvest, you go, oh boy, this is really working. Man, those guys on TV were right. I sowed that money instead of just, you know, giving it to them. And now this is my personal harvest. $100,000. Wow. So he considers that to be his personal blessing. And so this time he gives $10,000. Yeah, but he kept $90,000. Did I do it right? Yeah, $90,000 for himself. Hey, but I'm giving more than I gave before. First it was 100 I gave, then it was 1,000 I gave, and now it's 10,000 I gave. Yeah. But you're considering that personal harvest, what the country, what your home country sent you next, you're considering that to be your own personal harvest. See, can you imagine once this is exposed and their wealthy nation finds out, they do a reckoning of the ambassador's books and they find out they have entrusted in my little parable here $110,100 to his stewardship, and out of that amount, he has kept $99,000 for himself and only spent $11,100 on the projects for which he is an ambassador. Not only would the wealthy nation immediately remove him from his stewardship, but most likely he would be imprisoned for the rest of his life, see? We have a word for that. It's called embezzlement. And people go to prison all the time. Again, I'm reminded now of the guy who has the checkbook for a big company like IBM, you know, or any big company, Walmart, any of them. So he's the guy that writes the checks on company money to pay the electric bill, to pay the gas bill, to pay the employees' wages. He's the guy entrusted with the Lord's money to do that. And I'm sure he gets a salary. Of course he does. Okay? But if they find out he was of the, because he has access to, you know, this is Judas who took money out of the bag. They start finding out he is siphoning off money somehow and hiding it, but using corporate money for his own personal use. That's called embezzlement. We put people in prison for that, see? It didn't go well for Judas either. He had that mindset. Okay. See, the sowing and reaping message, if you stay with that, it'll teach you to be that kind of an ambassador. No wonder there's been virtually none whom the Father could promote to greater and greater levels of authority when it comes to the simplicity of giving or the ministry of helps. Just like a serving son on my grandfather's farm, an ambassador must make a clear distinction between his own personal provision and his stewardship. If he desired more provision or needed more provision, see, mine and Sue's has gone up and it's gone down over the years. You know, when you have kids in the house, it takes more money. We've been empty nesters for a long time. And we reduced it because we just didn't need that much, you know. We didn't need that much anymore. You can ask for a raise. And then later on, if you have the right temperament, let me say it that way, you can say, I don't need this much anymore. And see, okay, we're going to run out of time. And he's got more to say. So, but if he desired, if that ambassador, you know, his wife had a baby, he said, you know, we need another room. We need a different house. We need more provision. Then all he had to do was petition the wealthy nation where he's from and explain why you need more provision. And you know they would have sent it. But his personal provision must never be drawn from the finances that he's been made steward over that belong really to the wealthy nation. These are two completely separate and different things, and to mingle the two is to disqualify yourself as a steward. You'll just flat disqualify yourself. Okay, let's go to Romans 12 for just a moment. Let's look at something out of there that we... Listen, trust me when I say, these few Romans 12, 4 through 8, we could do a week-long seminar, and I mean hours a day, and not exhaust all of the revelation knowledge in this passage. But see, when... I said Romans 12, but before we read that, let's read Luke again. Let's read Luke 17, verses 7 through 10. Luke 17, verses 7 through 10. Which of you, having a servant... Now, and remember, this is the conclusion of this entire section of teaching that begins in Luke 15, 1 and concludes in Luke 17, 10. He's giving you the wisdom of the ages here. This is the conclusion. So he said, Luke 17, 7 through 10. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle... Remember that phrase, plowing or feeding cattle. He's just talking about you got a job to do in the kingdom. Drive the combine, grease the wheels, can the tomatoes, whatever it is. Okay? Which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he's come in from the field, you go and sit down to meat. You go eat. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drinken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. This is last week's message. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. That trow we don't use, but it means certainly not. Here it is. So likewise you, when you shall have done all those things that are commanded you, in other words, plowing or feeding cattle, whatever assignment I gave you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, we've taught at length on that difficult verse right there, but in a nutshell, what it is, it's not saying you're unworthy and no good and, you know, disgusting and whatever. Keep it in the context. Go back to Luke 15:1. Who is the servant out in the field? Who's out amongst the sinners? It's Jesus. Well, he's certainly not, worthless to the kingdom and unqualified and whatever. No, no, no. What he's saying is we are unprofitable. We're not in this for personal profit, just like Jesus wasn't. He was out amongst the sinners seeking and saving that which is lost. Why? Because that's his job. That's his assignment. That's what the Father's... He was sent for this purpose. Okay? He's doing his calling. Well, with that in mind, you're not in it for personal... When your job is done for the day, you can go sit down to meet. And he's really talking at the Father's dinner table. Now go to Romans 12. Because what you're going to see here is a listing of plowing and feeding cattle. Jesus used that, whatever your assignment is today, plowing, feeding cattle, whatever. But there's a list of that, a partial list, in Romans 12, verses 4 through 8. And Paul is writing here, and he says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, not everybody has the same calling. So we, being many, are one body in Christ," now notice, "and every one members of another, but having then gifts differing according to the grace that he has given us." Then he starts listing some of these. Not everybody's an apostle, not everybody's an evangelist, not everybody's a pastor, so forth. Not everybody's a teacher, trust me. Anyway, verse 6, "having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." Now he starts listing. For today's teaching, these are the plowing and feeding cattle. This is whatever assignment he's given you. This is your job in the family business. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. That's one. Okay, here's another job, another calling, our ministry. Let us wait on our ministry. Here's another job. You might recognize this one. Or he that teacheth. On teaching. That's my job. That's my calling. That's where my giftings are. That's what I do, plowing and feeding cattle. You understand what I mean? This is my job. He lists some more. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Or he that giveth. Here's that ministry of helps. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He's still talking about different jobs. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Okay. In that listening, that, quote, job assignment, mine is to teach. Now, am I to have the mindset, when I get through with my teaching, when I get through with this lesson today, am I to have the mindset, okay, there's a time clock on the wall, I'll go over there, take my little time card, punch my time card, pay me, Jesus. Pay me, Father. Is that the mindset Gary's supposed to have? Gary, you see that guy that gave us in there? See, he's supposed to believe for 100-fold return. That's what they say. Gary, you need to believe for 100-fold return. How does that work? What? No, he's listing your job. This is what you do. And so you got people that do all these different things. Well, one of them is simplicity of giving. Do you know you can't give unless you have? Somebody is, there's a calling right there, and we've taught on it, go back a few weeks to the title, Ministry of Helps, Simplicity of Giving, same thing. It is a calling, no different than the teacher, the pastor, the evangelist, Ministry of Helps. It's a calling, equal, right there. Well, there's first apostles and prophets and so forth. But anyway, it is a calling, okay? Now, no, I'm not supposed to believe for 100-fold. I'm supposed to get my behind back in the Word. Be nice, Gary. I'm supposed to get back in the Word, study to show myself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. I'm supposed to go in there. I'll tell you what I am going to do when I get finished with this lesson. I'm going to go pray for a while. And I mean a while. You know, sometimes it feels like my lips are going to roll off on the floor, you know. But why? I'm letting God, the Holy Spirit, pray the mysteries, the understanding of the Word. Good stuff. No, I'm not supposed to punch a clock and expect a paycheck because I taught the Word of God. Dear Lord, that is my assignment in the family business. That is my plowing and feeding cattle. When I come in, when I get through, really what I'm supposed to do is, Lord, do you have any other needs? Is there any? See, before we lay our head on the pillow at night, really, that's a good practice, you know. And do it before you're in bed, because he might send you somewhere to do something. One time, you know, we got enough time quickly. One time at 11 o'clock at night, about 10:30 at night, Sue and I, we just had this moment with the Lord where we went into prayer, and this young family with young children, came to our mind, and it was Sue really that picked up on it, says, I don't think they have any food in the house. I don't think they have anything to feed the kids. Now, you would never have known it to look at them. But anyway, it was about 10:30 at night, and so we called them to see if they were still up. They lived in a city close to ours, about a 45-minute drive. Well, 35, 45 minutes. Hey, are you still up? Yeah. Can we come over? We know it's late, but we got something urgent for you. We'll be up a while. Come on over. Man, we have a pantry out in the garage with canned goods and all kinds of stuff. We loaded up everything that we had, We had loaded up a bunch, sack after sack after sack of groceries, got in the car, drove over there. If I remember right, we got there sometime after 11 p.m., and we start carrying in all these groceries, and immediately the wife begins to cry. So I still remember when she started opening her kitchen cabinet doors to put up the groceries, there was nothing in there. And they got two little kids. I mean, little kids. A little boy and a little girl, precious. Boy, you'd never know it to look at the outside because they live in a much nicer house than we have, and they drove a much newer, better car than we had. And the circumstances doesn't matter, but the circumstances were there was nothing in that house to eat. There was nothing. Man, and one of the things we brought was a dozen eggs and some bacon out of our own refrigerator. Man, that wife said, hey, listen, while we're visiting, come in the kitchen, sit around the table. I'm going to be cooking. And she started cooking up bacon and eggs. Defender kids. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. The longest day I live. Yeah. You want to ask the master before you go to bed, you got any other needs? Is there anything else? I know I sent you $40 gazillion today. I sent it to, sent it right where you told me to send it. But before I go to bed tonight, you got anything else you'd like to, master, is there anything else to be done? Yeah, I've got this family that doesn't have any groceries. I'll never forget it. Pays to obey God. Pays to obey God. All right, I'm going to finish up here. We got about 3 minutes. I'm just going to have to read. I guess you can tell. No, I don't expect a paycheck after I get through teaching. Teaching is my part of plowing and feeding cattle. I am a son of God, and I'm choosing my choice to serve in my Father's fields. I go to plow and feed cattle by teaching. That's what Gary does. That's my job. This is my portion. This is my contribution. This is what he's called me to do in the family business. I study to show myself approved. I spend time in prayer, allowing the Holy Spirit to teach me the mysteries of God. I spend some time in fasting and worship, you know, of course. See, but at the end of the day, after I know I've done all that he's told me to do, then I can sit down at the dinner table and eat to the full because I am his son. He provides for me as I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you're called to the ministry of helps, if you're called to the simplicity of giving, allow the Holy Spirit, spend time, go over these lessons again and again till you understand. That is your calling in the body of Christ. Make a separation between your provision and his pound and his increase. Oh, the people that will be saved, the people, the hungry bellies that will be filled, the water wells that will be dug around the world. So many wonderful things. What a calling. What a calling. To go into the arena where mammon is supposed to be God and just take money away from that system. Legally, of course. He'll do everything legally. And then give it to the master for the purpose of the kingdom of God. What a great calling. What a great calling. Well, I think I'm done. Love you so much. See you next time. Bye-bye.